part B of the stealth revolution in government and religion in the last days. We're talking about idolatry and idols in the heart and how that separates you from God. And idolatry will lead to every other sin. Verse 1, Ezekiel 14. Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I at all be inquired by them? Which also tells you, you're not going to go before God and have your way. You're going to go before God His way. Therefore, speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols, so that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart because they have deserted me for their idols, all of them. You ever wondered why the church of God is so small? Right there. That's the answer. All these other religious people in the world that look pious, remember, Satan appears as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, verse 6, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations, everything that takes you away from God, you need to repent of. Because here's what he says, for every one of the house of Israel, that's a lot of people, isn't it? Today, hundreds and hundreds of millions. Or the stranger who lives in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet to speak of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man. I will make him for a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, what about when the whole nation does that? Well, the majority of the nation does that. The government does it. What happens? Let's again see something very interesting. Come back here to Ezekiel 8. Here we talk to the elders. These are all the important people in Israel. Back here in Ezekiel 8, we find something also which shows concerning those men. Because as I have said, what you see is not what you're really getting. Because there are other agendas behind the front. And it is what is tearing us down. Your leaders have led you astray. Why? Because they have idols in their hearts, they have other gods, they have another agenda, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they have created the most ungodly banking system that there has ever been. And we're all going to pay the price because we have all left God. Verse 6. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they do, even the great abominations which the house of Israel is doing here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? You see, if people treat God with contempt and sin against him, God goes away. Oh, but every time there's an emergency or an accident or something, they expect God to be right there to help them. But he says, no, you drive me away. And he brought me to the opening of the court, and I looked, and behold, a hole in the wall. Something you would think hardly anything about. And he said to me, Son of man, dig in the wall now. And I dug in the wall, and behold, an opening. And he said to me, Go in and see the evil abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every kind of creeping thing and hateful beast and all the idols of the house of Israel were carved on the wall all around. And 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, the leading men. Let's just be right up front. We talked recently about the Committee of 300, right? Now we're talking about all of the other ones below that who belong to various secret organizations. Masons, Knights of Columbus, etc. Oh, well, these are just fun things for the boys. Why then do they have the head of the lodge called the Most Worshipful Master? And it is known, if you want to go any place in the world in business, you better belong to some organization. This is what it's talking about here. And then it lists them. Jazaniah, the son of Saphan, standing in front of them. These were before them, and each man with his censer in his hand, and sweet-smelling cloud of incense was rising up. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, each man in his own room of idols? For they are saying, The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the earth. So they don't let you know what their secret agenda is. Well, let me read a few things to you and give you some hints as to what's coming. I have here a collection of many sayings by many men. I'm only going to read one to illustrate the point. And this was in 1946. This is when they started changing the educational system in America. And this was given by Aldous Huxley. 1946, UNESCO, which is then United Nations Education, Science and Cultural Organization. Now remember, Aldous Huxley is an atheist. And he has set the agenda along with others for modern education. And here is what their plan was, and they have succeeded. He's talking to UNESCO. As long as a child breathes the poison air of nationalism, education in world-mindedness can produce only precarious results. Now, world-mindedness is one world agenda. As we have pointed out, it is frequently the family that infects the child with extreme nationalism. So the target is the family. When did families start disintegrating? When did they start having easy divorce? When did they kick God out of the schools? Now you've got an open field. And now it's completely controlled by evolutionists, atheists, and those who say that right now what we need to do is drop all barriers concerning sex and teach them as a young age as possible, because they know once they do that, they have destroyed and ruined and scarred that mind for life, and they become easy targets to control. To say nothing of what they just recently found in Berkeley. A girl kept captive 18 years by a sex fiend from the time she was 11. Brainwashed her, and she thought she was married to him. And even the man's wife went along with it and encouraged it. That's the end result of what I'm reading here. Parents have the first line of authority over their children in all things, period. Schools, therefore, use the means described earlier, that is to break these things down, to combat family attitudes that favor nationalism. We shall presently recognize in nationalism the major obstacle to development of world-mindedness. We are at the beginning of a long process of breaking down the walls of national sovereignty, UNESCO must be the pioneer. Has that happened? Yes. And here's one, Club of Rome. How do we get the Green Movement? 1991. This is interesting. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, you see, because that's the way that they operate. They always have an enemy. They attack the enemy. They go against everything that they do. And you saw that in full force against the Bush administration in his second term. Now they have it in full force against Sarah Palin and anyone who would dare defy them. You are demonized. Here's the new enemy. We came up, we, that is those in the Club of Rome, that's where the Green Movement started, and that's the headquarters for it. We came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortage, famine, and the like would fit the bill. This is absolute proof that from this report by Stephen Pasco. He said, this is absolute proof that man-made global warming is a fabrication. But in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap of mistaking symptoms for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. Amazing. I'll read two more. Mikhail Gorbachev, and I love the way that Rush does it. We must speak more clearly about sexuality, contraception, about abortion, about values that control population, about the ecological crisis. In short, is the population crisis. Cut the population by 90% and there won't be enough people left to do a great deal of ecological damage. How's that for loving your neighbor as yourself? All right. There is, of course, this is by Aldous Huxley in A Brave New World, 1946. Aldous Huxley is quoted through here quite a number of times, Bertrand Russell, David Rockefeller, and everything that he says and all of the things that he belongs to. He says he's proud of it, he's done it, and so forth. So this is really quite an interesting one. I will give you the website. It is www.infowars.com/the move to depopulate the planet. Okay? Now, let me get to another one. Now, I want to talk about the way that the change has come, and we're seeing the end result of it now. And what methods were used, and how they used them, and we can see all of this in action right now. So here's the program that they have, and this is, I'll give you the website here. You can go to it. It is frontpage.americandaughter.com, and you can also look up Jim Simpson. Now, this is about how to manufacture a crisis. And the things that they have done to manufacture crises. That sound familiar? Now, I'll just break into the middle of the report. Prior to the Republican takeover in Congress in 1994, Democrats had over 50 years of virtually unbroken power in Congress with substantial majorities most of the time. With all the time and the money in the world, trillions spent, they couldn't fix a single thing. They had all their programs, you know, end poverty, integration, all of those things. Today's liberal has the same complaints. and the same tired solutions? Can a group of smart people studying issue after issue for years on end with virtually unlimited resources at their command not come up with a single policy that works? Why are they chronically incapable, like what they're doing today? Why? When things go bad all the time, despite the best efforts of all involved, I suggest to you something else is at work, something deeper, more malevolent. I submit to you that it is not a mistake. The failure is deliberate. And how do they do that? They create programs, anti-poverty programs. The beneficiary finds government subsidies a replacement for rather than a supplement to gainful employment, and eventually they become incapable of supporting themselves. This in turn creates a dependent culture with the attendant toxic behavior which demands still more government remedies. Number two, programs they create their own industries, complete with a scad of think tanks and experts who survive on government research grants. These are the aptly named Beltway Bandits. Three, they create their own bureaucracies whose managers conspire with interested members of Congress to continually increase program funding regardless of merits. Four, members of Congress secure votes and campaign donations by extorting them from beneficiaries of such programs, either through veiled threats, vote for me, or those mean Republicans will wipe out your benefits, or promises of still more benefits. That's how they have done it. Okay? The strategy of forcing political change through orchestrated crises, that's what they're doing, is called the Cloward-Piven strategy, because those are the two men who devised it in 1960, a pair of radical leftist Columbia University professors. And where has our president gone? All right. Here, I'll read just a couple more things from this report, how they do it. This is part two. And he says, yet no one to my knowledge has connected all the dots between Barack Obama and the radical left. When seen together, the influences on Obama's life comprise a who's who of the radical leftist movement, and it becomes painfully apparent that not only is Obama a willing participant in that movement, but he has spent most of his own life deeply immersed in it. Even this doesn't fully describe the extreme nature of this candidate. He can be tied directly to a malevolent, overarching strategy that has motivated many, if not all, of the most destructive radical leftist organizations in the United States since the 1960s. Now, here's how they do it. The strategy of forcing political change through orchestrated crises. Or anything else. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because we're going to get to the banking thing in just a little bit. Because that's the end result of what is going on here. The Cloward-Piven strategy seeks to hasten the fall of capitalism by overloading the government bureaucracy with a flood of impossible demands, then pushing society to crisis and economic collapse. Is that not where we are right now? Yes. Why? Because we've gone away from God. Because we have rejected God and the Ten Commandments. So here's how they do it. And this is by radical organizer, who was Hillary Clinton's mentor, Saul Alinsky. Make the enemy live up to their own book of rules. Alinsky wrote in 1989 of Rules for Radicals. when pressed to honor every word of every law and statute, every Judeo-Christian moral tenet, every implicit promise of the liberal social contract, human agencies inevitably fall short. The system's failure to live up to its rule book can then be used to discredit it altogether and to replace the capitalist rule book with a socialist one. Planned. Carried out today. The very ones who taught our current president. Their strategy is to create political, financial, and social chaos that will result in revolution blended Alinsky concepts with the more aggressive efforts at bringing about a change in the United States government to achieve their evolutionary change. Cloward and Piven sought to use a new cadre of aggressive organizers assisted by a friendly news media to force a redistribution of the nation's wealth. No matter the strategy, what it is implied, shares the following features. The offensive organizes previously unorganized groups eligible for government benefits but not currently receiving all they can. The offensive seeks to identify new beneficiaries or create new benefits. The overarching aim is always to impose new stress on target systems and the ultimate goal of forcing their collapse. Now, are we facing a collapse in the Western banking system? Answer is yes. Also, at some point, the failure of the world's prime reserve currency, that's the dollar, will lead to the structuring of a new global currency system. I would not be surprised to find gold as part of that system. And this is from a report, Shadow Government Statistics Hyperinflation Report, April 8, 2008. Okay, now, let me read some other things here. Financial ruin of Western world beckons. All the debt that we have, and the rescue will be with the international monetary system. Mounting joblessness fuels U.S. housing crises. And there are more foreclosures coming of a greater scale. See, you can't fix these things unless there's repentance to God. That's what it's all about. There's no quick fix to the global economy's excess capacity. Europe is in trouble. America is in trouble. And they say now there's going to be a double-dip recession. Now, let me cover just a couple of other things. There are many reports which come in on this. 1,000 banks to fail in the next 2 years. And this is by Natalie Ehrlich. Yes, 1,000 banks to fail in the next 2 years. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Every Friday, some bank closes. And the feds take over. Okay? How long can that be? Now, I'm going to ring my bell here. But this has been fairly well substantiated. Let me read some things here. There's currently right now, and this is written by Jim Sinclair, is the chairman and CEO of the Tasmanian Royalty Exploration Corporation. He is a precious metals and commodities specialist. Here are the highlights of, and then it lists all of his career things. The U.S. financial system wants, now let's talk about what's happening right now today. But more so needs to have China buying U.S. Treasury offerings to remain at these levels, but more so to increase, to offset the wholly unavoidable increase in offering of U.S. federal debt. Now, let me just tell you how much debt we have in America total, everything, everywhere. $146 trillion. There is something that's going to happen because of that. China is in bad shape itself, but it doesn't want to keep buying U.S. treasuries, but we have to sell them to it. The Chinese wish to see the U.S. support the creation of a super sovereign currency to offset, as an offset to dependence on the dollar for international settlements and national reserves. Now, you've heard of the G20. We'll talk about that a little bit because that is going to happen. It will come. The Chinese rightly feel that the greatest risk to their present dollar position valuation is quantitative easing. Well, quantitative easing is printing money and buying your own debt. That's what we're doing right now. Or simply put, the monetization of one's own debt by the electronic creation of money for funding yourself. Isn't that nice? Spend all the money you want and you say, oh, the account's empty. Oh, I'll push a few keys and I'll fill it back up. You will note that the quantitative easing program was extended until October, particularly the end of October. This is what Bernanke would like to see, hoping that the management of prospective economics will succeed. As the market related, the management perspective works only when it has the wind at its back, such as in 1981 to 2001. Today we have the wind in our face. Caught between, quantitative easing cannot be curtailed in 2009 or 2010, so they're going to print, how they're going to have all this debt. Remember, they just found out that Obama estimated $2 trillion short on the debt. So how are they going to do it? Quantitative easing, printing it, and buying it back. To curtail quantitative easing as the federal debt explodes would be to release interest rates to the marketplace that could take them to the late 1979, early 80 levels due to a currency event. Now, what was that interest rate? Anybody remember? 19%. Prime interest rate at the Fed. Now, you know it's coming. And it's going to have to come. And the banks know it's coming. Banks have been busy rewriting all of the interest rates of their credit cards. And you know what the rate is that they have it up to now that they can charge you? 23.37%. So that tells you they know it's coming. All right. However, the U.S. cannot support the sovereign, the super sovereign currency, which then is a basket of currencies through the IMF. To do so would be to disavow the U.S. dollar as a universal reserve currency, which the financial leadership of the U.S. still adheres to, seeing this period as only an aberration in the constant market. The U.S., due to market considerations, cannot yield to Asia and China on the two criteria required to remain as purchasers of the U.S. Treasury instruments, which is the only real support the dollar really has. Put in simple terms, they are not going to buy Federal Reserve notes. Acts. What is that going to do? All right, let me tell you. Impending bank holiday. I've had this verified from 4 or 5 different sources. Now, when it will come, we do not know. But the collapse of the dollar is near. Now, some people may not like what I'm saying or reading, but this is well known and it's out there. And if I don't say it, regardless of how you may feel about it, then I'm going to be held responsible for not telling you. Now, we had an impending bank holiday. We had one in March 1933. So they expect one here very shortly. Now, here's a report here. This one is, what is this one? U.S. bank system shutdown is being planned. They don't know exactly how they're going to do it. There are many different ideas and things from this report. Henry Schultz is a veteran news writer, Henry Schultz Letter, an expert analyst whose reputation is beyond reproach. He wrote in his June newsletter a preface to the surprise event of the magnificent magnitude and importance of only one precedent in U.S. history. He wrote, some U.S. embassies worldwide are being advised to purchase massive amounts of local currencies enough to last them a year. Some embassies are being sent enormous amounts of U.S. cash to purchase currencies from those governments quietly, but not British pounds. Inside the State Department, there is a sense of sadness and foreboding that something is about to happen, unknown to a date, but within 180 days from June, could be 120 to 150 days. Notice the U.S. dollar and pound are grouped together, both to become unavailable. Now, what they want to do is bring in a basket currency using the International Monetary Fund through the G20. Now, how are they going to do it? We know, number one, that those who are the super elite, ultra powerful, and ultra wealthy, they don't want to lose very much money. So there has to be a way of them retaining it. So how will they do it? What will happen to the U.S.? Now, it could be they close everything down and they bring in a new currency. Or it could be that they could say, in order to preserve their wealth, now this is my opinion, so I'll ring the bell, that they might do like they did with the euro. How did they bring in the euro? When they first announced it, they said, all right, all transactions between the nations will be financed by the euro instead of the national dollars, and it will all be digitized. And in 5 years, we'll bring in the currency. So that's what they did. That was different from coming in and saying, okay, whoom, we're going to do it all at once. So this may be the way that they're going to do it. We don't know how to do it. How they will, the timing. There are many different ways that it can come about. But we are going to see that the U.S. dollar is going to collapse, and we will see it probably no later than next spring at the latest. Now, this is going to affect everything that we do, that you do, that I do, that the churches do. It's going to affect everyone in the United States of America, and it will fulfill the prophecy of Deuteronomy 28, that we will be brought down very low because we borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed. And if you total it all up, $146 trillion in debt has got to come home. To borrow a phrase from Reverend Wright, said the chickens are going to come home to roost. This is not just a few chickens. This is everyone that has ever been created in all time are going to come home and roost. And where's that going to put us? Going to put us in a very difficult situation. We're going to have to learn to live differently. And we're going to have to learn that there are going to be problems and difficulties. This nation, which glorified money, glorified greed, glorified lying, the judgment is going to come. No one wants the dollar. They're stuck and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't want to lose what they have. We don't want to change. We don't want to lose what we have. So the crisis is there, created for the very purpose that I read here, for control. The final analysis is this. If we don't control ourselves before God with the laws of God, then God is going to let someone else control us. And that's where we are today, brought about by all of our sins, by the banking things that are taking place, all the lies, all the cheating, from the least to the great. And there we are. I know years ago we would say, whoa, boy, we're going to live to see the return of Christ. We never thought about all the things involved, what that would mean. And, you know, so don't think that this is just some little thing that Fred Coulter has hatched up. Get on the internet and check it out. Don't ask your stockbroker, if you have one, because he wants you to keep the money there so he can pay his bills. There are many other things I could go into. I have another report here, which is closing the collapse gap. America will collapse. Soviet Union collapsed. And we think somehow it won't happen to us. And somehow, if we don't speak about it, it won't happen. Or somehow, that if I speak about it, I'm getting carried away with nonsense. But I'm not the only one speaking about it. It is out there, far and wide. The reason they can't tell you when the banking holiday is coming is because everyone would make a run on the bank. So it's going to have to come at a time that they don't expect. Some say it's going to come in 85 days. Some say 120. I don't know when it's going to come, but they will select the time and it will be announced and that will be it. And with the de facto dollar that we have, there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Now, we have to rely on the blessings and protection of God for Him watching over us in these difficult times that we have to face ahead. No, they can't set a time and announce it. Just like when they take over these banks that fail, they don't tell you they're going to take them over. When all the banks have closed up through the West Coast, then they initiate it and take it over. Open it up Monday morning under a new name. I mean, right here in little old Hollister, we've had two banks. The branch of Washington Mutual and World Savings Wachovia taken over. And you drive up and down the street, there are empty buildings. The malls out here, empty shops. You go into the stores, not a lot of people in there. So things are taking place. They're going to happen. Yeah, they're buying it so they can survive. They don't know how long it's going to be. But, you know, if we default on all of those treasury bills and all of those debt instruments, you know, how can you take $146 trillion and then all of a sudden say, oh, this debt is wiped out. Sorry, we have nothing to pay you. and not expect any repercussions? And what I may have said here may be very, very, very mild. So anyway, that's why I've said for years, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Store some supplies up. Don't be caught short-handed. Who knows? They already have plans nationwide for martial law, emergencies. That would be emergency, wouldn't it? Yes, indeed. So those things are right there. Okay. Good news is, kingdom of God is coming. But we have to go through this first. So we'll end it here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.